You may be seated. Hi, Gina. Good to see you tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The presence of the Lord is so wonderful here tonight. I couldn't help but count my blessings tonight as worshiping the Lord. I just have a few things to share before we take testimonies. I'd like those that want to testify, go ahead and come to the bench this morning, this evening. And also, we'll be taking the evening offering, so if the ushers would get ready to receive that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you realize we sang how many songs tonight? 30 songs. And I don't think we sang one song twice. I mean, again, we sang them over and over, but you know what I mean. And I think most all of them, if not all of them, have been ones that have been given to people in this assembly. And, you know, we're a real blessed people. To be able to worship God like that in spirit, in truth, is such a wonderful thing. It's something never to be taken for granted, the opportunity and the vehicle that we have. You know, this time of year, we sang a song. One of the songs we sang was Jesus Alone is My Security. This time of year is the time of year where there's the highest number of suicides. And because many have grown up and they've had a certain formality and certain experiences as a child and receiving all those gifts, and there was such a security in that. There was such a security in receiving things and seeing so many things given, and, you know, having those, that type of a tangible expression was such a security. And as you grow older, you want that feeling of security rekindled. You want that powerful peace that comes from that security again. And so you look to things, but it just won't bring it. And so you try something else. You try to bring back the old memories, but they don't come. And you desperately want to find those same feelings of love, but they're just not there. And things don't produce it anymore. And it's got to be in people, in relationship. And Maya can be a real sad time of year for some. And those that are having just a wonderful time, that is, in things and in experiencing the fellowship and the family and buying and giving of gifts and whatnot. You know, it's a misplaced security. And it's a security that only goes for a certain amount of time. And it just doesn't bring that lasting peace. And, oh, I just felt so thankful tonight. I just feel so grateful to the Lord. I feel so thankful. I feel so thankful for you. I feel thankful to be able to get together with people that really love and worship God, that really express love to God. You know, we sang songs and sang in the Spirit, including singing in the Spirit and singing songs. We sang for, you know, maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours tonight. And that's marvelous. That is just wonderful to be able to do that. And to not run out, to be able to just pour it out and pour it out and worship unto God. And to bring your mind into a place of true reverence and thanksgiving unto the Lord. My, we are so blessed. We are such a blessed people. We're such a blessed people to be in a land where, you know, we're not having to dodge mortar fire. We're not having to worry about, where our next loaf of bread is going to come from. And those that are in straits and in difficulties, there are many charities. There's many opportunities for them to be fed. We're in a blessed land. We're a blessed people. We're in a blessed place. But, oh, don't you feel it in your heart that you just wish? You just wish that the true Lord Jesus Christ could be able to shine through out of that manger scene and break forth in His glory and His love and splendor upon the hearts of those that are looking for that security tonight. And they'll find it in you and I. We are that book that they'll read. We're those ones that can shine forth that security to them and that love. My, we are such a blessed people. I feel like if anybody on the face of the earth has a right to praise Jesus Christ and be thankful for His birth, it's us. If anybody on the face of the earth has a right to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, it's us. And those that are Spirit-filled, those that know God, and those that have been born again, and that have a fellowship of believers like we have here, this is such a blessed thing. And even though we may be small in number tonight, you know, we were at Bozeman, Montana last summer, and there was maybe 40, 50, 60 people. I don't know how many were there, maybe 40. Oh, I tell you, it's the same Spirit. It doesn't matter how many are here. And with the same thanksgiving, and with the unity. And that's what God has built in us, is a unity. And it's made a difference in this assembly, hearts that are knit together and caring for one another. I'm telling you, this is going to mean a lot in the near future. It's going to make a big difference. There's many things just around the corner that God is bringing to this assembly. Step by step, God is leading us. And there's steps just around the corner that God is wanting us to take. And it's going to be exciting to take them. As we share tonight and give what God has placed on your heart, just really glorify the Lord. This is going to be a large part of the ministry tonight. I have just a short thing I want to share at the end. Service may not go too late tonight. So let's really be anointed. Let's let God shine forth from your heart to edify the body of Christ here tonight. I just want to tell you again, I just thank you. I thank you for yielding to the Lord. I thank you for being a people that really love God. I just feel so appreciative of being able to come to a place where we can join in one heart and one spirit. And as being the leader of the service tonight, I was prayed for earlier, and I just feel so thankful. Thank you, those that were praying and singing and ministering to me this evening. I thank you so very much. I just feel like I want to be able to bless you also and minister to you also. It's so wonderful to be giving. And if we can be a giving people, then we can do like Jesus did. Remember what Paul said, Jesus said? Jesus went about and he taught. And there's one thing that he taught. And he said these words. He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so, brethren, let's find that blessing and live it out and continue to give. Make more people grateful. Make more people a debt is what I mean to say. A debt of mercy. Let's put everybody in debt. Let's shine out so much love and give so much mercy. Let's put people so far in debt that every one of us will just feel like, my, we owe our whole life to God and to His people. Amen. Time of year, give of yourself, give your life, give yourself. God is calling this church and us as a people to really minister to our brethren. And there's only one way that we can do it. And that is, there's only one way, really, that we can minister it. Knowledge puffeth up, but love edifies. And the only way God can entrust other souls into our care to teach and to strengthen and to help is if we love them. And if we look beyond all the externals, and we get totally delivered from any sectarian attitude, any sectarian spirit, any comparison type of spirit, judgmental, critical spirit. I tell you, God's got to totally obliterate that from the people of God. And the more you have, as far as an advantage over others, the more apt you are to fall into those traps. And it's all the more careful, it's all the more important, therefore, for us to always, never take one thing for granted. Never take one single thing for granted. But so count our blessings and be so full of thankfulness that you can't touch another Christian, but it just bursts out all over him. And you're just so thankful for what God has done and what He is doing and who He is and what He has for us and what He has for them. And you are going to pour out the love of God. If you have that attitude. But if you're kind of hoarding it all in, you got it all here, and you're walking around with your arsenal and saying, you know, I've won, what about you? There's nothing pouring out. And it's that miserly spirit like the one servant had that was forgiven 10,000 talents. And he never got the picture of how much was taken away from him as far as the debt. But oh my, that, you know, we're looking, it's so easy to get our eyes all taken off of the proper thing. And I've sometimes wondered, how does God look at Christmas? How does He really look at it? What does He think about it? And on the one hand, you can just know that what a grief to see how misused and misdirected, and these fat men standing on doorsteps with a beard and all of that. And, you know, who is that? Where did he come from? I thought Christmas dealt with, you know, and Saint Nick, and where did that name come from? And, you know, and different things like this. It all ties back to pagan roots. And all of that, and yet on the other hand, I am sure that God sees so many hearts this time of year that really want to worship Him. They really are grateful. They really are thankful that there are thousands of Christians that when they get together and they read the gospel story and they think about it and it means something to them. And they've learned maybe over the years, some of them, that we really cannot find our security in things, and they really do recognize that God alone is the one who can give them what they need. And so they are grateful. And I'm sure at this time of year, the Lord is thankful that His name is broadcast around. He's thankful for at least the exposure out there to the heathen, and that they can see that here's one that loves them, though they don't get the connection. And on the one hand, it's a deception. On the other hand, it's another opportunity. That's just the way it works. The devil makes a move, and so God has an opportunity. But that attitude of being grateful again, you know, I guess that's what we started out the service with tonight. But again, just being so grateful and so thankful before the Lord. If we will do that, then God will be able to entrust us with His people. We've got something so important for the church world that God wants to get out. So many things, not just one thing either, but many, many things to be a blessing to the people of God. Many of you are here for that reason. Come to Bible college because you saw the truth and God drew your heart and you knew that you needed to grow. Now, God wants to break down the walls and flood this thing out. And He only can do it if the ones that go flooding out are so full of love and gratitude and really will take care of the people that God puts into their care. Can you be that, people? Can we be that? Can we be that? All we need to do really to be that is just really, this is not the whole thing, but to really be grateful and to take into account all that God has done for you. Count your blessings. Go through them one by one. Make it a daily matter. Tell your children. Feed it to the family. Make it a part of your mental attitude. And when you're grateful all the time, you're a happy person. And you get a lot of good out of a little bit. When you're a grateful person, you can play, you know, as a kid with your stick and your can and have a ball all day long. Whereas if you're miserly, it doesn't matter how expensive the toy, it just won't do it. And as a grateful people, God is going to be able to give you and I as a gift. You know, the Bible says that God will give as gifts apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. And He says He'll give them as gifts. He just take them and just give them. He gave His only begotten Son. He just gave Him. And now because of that, there are those that will come into the image of Christ, and He's going to give them too. I mean, think about it. That's a high calling. What is any higher than what Jesus Christ has done? I mean, what could be as high as that? We have the opportunity to be put into a position where that happens to us too. God gave His only Son. God wants to give you. God wants to take you and give you to the world. That's a marvelous thing. Think about that. That's beautiful. And what greater gift could you give than yourself? So let's be grateful. Let's build that. Let's talk about it to one another. Let's build that thing up in our hearts. Many of us look at the ministers of God, and we look at all their vessels, and we see the gold one, the silver one, and all of that, and the diamond-studded one, and we say, I want to be one like that. But we're looking at it from a certain viewpoint. Actually, the way God sees it is the ones that really shone were earthen. This is the old muddy-colored one over in the corner. That's the one that really shone for Him because, like Paul said, then the glory might be of God. And so the vessel that God wants us to be, that giveable vessel, that empty vessel, is the one that doesn't look like much on the outside. And all of us, everybody here, can qualify for that. Anybody can empty himself. Anybody can do that. And the more you got, maybe the harder it would be to do it, but anybody can do it. And then when you're empty, then God can fill you, and there's no limit to that. Amen. I just want to share just a few minutes about a group of people, a certain group that really are thankful. You know, there. You remember possibly when Don shared about Nabal in the Old Testament a little while back. Remember Nabal, the husband of Abigail, whom David, when he was in the wilderness with his men, spared their flocks and guarded them from the marauding bands that were around. And while they were in the wilderness, Nabal's shepherds were never harmed and they never lost any sheep. And now Nabal, and it means fool, but Nabal was a fool. And he never realized the whole time while his flocks were increasing, and he threw a big shindig about the thing. And he was blessed in his flocks and in his herds. And he threw a feast. And David said, give what's of thine hand. You've got so much there. Let a little bit fall on those that are hungry in the wilderness. And he wouldn't do it. He was a fool. He wasn't grateful for the benefit that they'd been to him. He was unaware of all the goodness that they've received. Well, I sure don't want to be that. Do you? You don't want to be that. You don't want to be going through life, getting so many blessings and be a fool and not be giving praise and thanks when it's due. Now, there is a group that are not like that. They know exactly what is going on, and they're really thankful. And it shows by their prime activity of their life. It shows by the thing that they do most, and that is praise. And the group is angels. They know what's going on, and they are full of thanks. Now, the Bible says, and I've got my finger here in Job. We're going to go to Job in just a second. But in Psalms chapter 100 and verse 1, let's start with verse 1. Oh, dear, that's not the one. Yes, it is. Verse 4. Well, let's start with verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Some people can't hardly do that. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people. We didn't evolve. And the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. Now there's two steps here to coming before the Lord. The first one is thanksgiving, being thankful. That's how you enter the gates. And after you have entered with thanksgiving, then you enter into His courts with praise. Praise is the response of a thankful heart. Now the angels are praising God. And it talks about His ministers, and like in Psalm 149 and 150. And there's a reference also in Psalm 104 about the angels that are servants and they are ministers and they praise the Lord. And they do it also along with Israel and the priests and those that worship God. They praise Him because they see what He's doing. And they're not Nabal. They're smart. They know what God is doing and they are thankful. Now I want to give you a couple of times in which we really see that thankfulness. First of all, in Job chapter 38. Now, in Job 38, and I'm going to start right here at the verse, the first few verses, is when God spoke to Job after his trial. And the first thing He did to Job is He asked him, "Where were you when I created the foundations of the earth?" And he says, first he asks, "Who is Job?" "Who is this," verse 2 here, "that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Now they saw something in this creation that really caused them to be thankful. It caused them to praise God. Then this, when they saw this creation. Now, Satan, he became jealous from all indication, from what we can tell, what I can tell in the prophecies in the Old Testament. And he rebelled at the thought of being a minister and a servant unto man. But the angels rejoiced and they sang for joy. Because they saw in God's wisdom, they saw how God had created man to be a reflection and a glory of God and to be those whom would be tested and tried and come into a position as Elohim, like the Bible says. Be exalted to a tremendous high place. Now, you know, tonight your body's tired maybe, you know, it's getting late and you've got things on your mind and whatnot. We don't seem too much like Elohim maybe right now. May not seem too much like that. But when you are locked into the Spirit of God, and you're in communion with Him, and you're involved in worship, and you're thankful in your heart, I mean, there is a spiritual interchange that is taking place that causes the angels to be envious. They desire to look into these things, the Scripture says. That's a marvelous thing. That is a marvelous thing. So they're no Nabals. They're not Nabals. They thank God. They are full of praise. There's a reference in Proverbs chapter 8 where wisdom is personified, and wisdom is said to be with the Lord when He created the earth. And it's a similar passage to what we find back here in Job. And so wisdom is standing beside the Lord. And verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Verse 20, I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. This is wisdom talking. Verse 23, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. Wisdom has been there from the beginning. All that God has done has been in wisdom. Before the mountain, verse 24, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet He had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the depth. See, wisdom is there. Everything is being done perfectly. You ever notice that? Everything is so perfect. To the heathen, they just shake their head and they say, wow, what the marvels of natural selection. Marvels of mutations. You know, we are marvelous mutations. You have to admit now, if this came about by mutation. But to the angels, they are just in astonishment. Everything is done by such wisdom. Now read on. Verse 30, then I was by Him as one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him. Everything God does is perfect. 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 Everything. Not one thing that God has done is in any way imperfect. It's man, and it is sin, and it is choices of a free will contrary to God that has brought the trouble and the sorrow to this earth. But everything God has done is perfect. Now read verse 31. Rejoicing in the habitable part of His earth. Now, wisdom found great delight in everything God created. You know, the amoeba, that little fish way down the bottom of the sea that doesn't see the light, that looks like some monster with teeth as long as his body. To the high-flying, you know, whatever, the things up in the sky and so forth. But His main rejoicing was in the habitable part of the earth, where man dwelt. Then listen to this next phrase. And My delights were with the sons of men. Now there is where wisdom can really be seen. In God's creation of man. God's creation of man. Think about it. You didn't have any say as to your beginning, but here you are, created, brought forth, and now you're here. You don't have any say as to how your hands work and your legs work. They just function. How your body works, it just functions. You've got a mind. It's just there. It was given to you. You're sitting inside a beautiful computer of sorts, marvelous thing, and you didn't have a thing to do with it. You just plunked on down inside and happy to stay there. You just got what you got, and there you are. We're inside of something that is marvelous. But that which is inside is even more marvelous than that which is here, this physical creation. This wisdom of God in His creation. Now the angels see this, and they see what God has done, and they rejoice. And they are thankful for everything that God has done. They are thankful for their part in it. They are thankful that they get to be ministers unto us. They find joy in catching our foot lest it dash against a stone. They have joy in ministering unto us. Do you know that? Our sister said she's happiest when she ministers unto others. Angels are happiest when they minister. If I can say that, and although I do not believe that the happiest time is when we're ministering necessarily, I believe the happiest time is when you're in communion and in communication. And as you're ministering, normally there's a flow and there's an interaction with the Spirit of God. And so that's a very happy time, very wonderful time. But whenever you are in the Spirit of God and dwelling in His presence, that is a happy time. So those angels looking after man and rejoicing in man, and having great joy in man, and being so thankful for their position and for what God has done in us. I'll tell you, there was one time in human history that the heavens essentially broke loose, brother. The heavens kind of came apart. And that was at the birth of Christ. I'd like you to look with me in Luke chapter 2. Now, that wasn't the only time. I mean, if there was a shakeup then, I'll tell you, it really happened at the resurrection. That's when it really happened. I mean, that's when captivity was led captive, and all the saints came out of Sheol and had a glory shout in the heavens in the presence of God Himself. And Abraham finally made it, you know. And he's still waiting for his glorified body, but he's there in the presence of God. But in Luke chapter 2, at the birth of Christ, listen to what the angels did. Starting in verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. Now listen to this here. Here is an angel that is subject, as it were, is though man is now lower than the angels, as it were, yet the angel knows that man will be glorified above the angels. And so here is an angel sent as a minister to man. Men that are notoriously Nabal. Notoriously fools. Unwise, unthinking. Ungrateful, selfish, proud. The whole world, given enough time, practically went into darkness. And only one was left, and that was Noah. And they were living for hundreds of years. And given enough time, they all went into darkness, except for one man. And God brought a curse at that time, and He wouldn't let man live so long anymore. Because given enough time, man goes into sin, to horrible degradation. So God cut his life short, and like he said through Moses, 70. And so man has been this way. And angels many times, you know, you can just see them slapping their hand against their forehead and saying, oh no, here I got another mission from headquarters, head out after Susie Q. This is the 40th time. When will she ever learn, you know? And all these messages coming from headquarters, from God, to angels, to get out, and there they are. This time they're not accidentally dashing their foot against a stone. The idiot is running after it. He wants to break his foot. Save him. Help him out, you know, and try to go down and help. Angels constantly ministering to us and seeing the stupid decisions we make sometimes. But in it, there is a promise that Abraham saw. And the men of God saw, and by faith they claimed it, though they did not receive it. They saw something yet to come. And the angels desired to look into that thing. They wanted to see that thing. And it was in Jesus Christ that the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. And here, the God, Lord God of the heavens and the earth, now chose to become, as it were, flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And at the birth of this child, that just flesh, son of man, yet God had chosen to put himself within. He had to take up residence and to incarnate himself within this one. And so the angels here coming to man, here's a shepherder, and where does his thoughts are? What is he thinking about all day long? Like that angel said to William Branham, the thoughts of man speak louder in heaven than their words do on earth. Where are the thoughts of this shepherd on this day? Here's an angel that's dwelling in the glories of God in a timeless realm. Hearing the thoughts of this shepherd, you know, from day to day. How high, how lofty are his thoughts? Dumb sheep, why don't they hurry up and get over here? Wonder what I'm going to do tomorrow. Wonder, you know, what's coming on. And every now and again, you know, a glory unto God and an honor unto God, which is a marvelous thing. But then back into the mundane things of life that I would suppose an angel could care less about. And coming down to this shepherd, he says, Fear not, For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, the Savior. Born to you the Savior. The Savior. Now, one time, I was reading this, and it just struck me so hard. I saw the shepherd and mankind from the angel's viewpoint. And it just hit me. This angel is coming to this man to whom he is a servant. And all of a sudden he says, you finally get what I have been longing for you to have, the Savior. The Savior. All of mankind is dependent upon the Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. All of history revolves around the Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. Eternity revolves around the Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. Years in my joy, years in my thanksgiving, where we're going to be next year, where we're going to be in eternity, revolves around the Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. What you're going to be doing the rest of your life, how you are going to live from day to day, it all revolves around Jesus Christ the Savior. And here he was, coming into the world, just a child born in Bethlehem, meager surroundings. And heaven is breaking loose. And one angel comes down first, and come down, and understand my terminology. Not that they're flying around or anything, but here they are. It's a timeless realm, another realm, and they come. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now that doesn't happen normally, so this is going to be very unique. And there wouldn't be too many mangers in the city where that could be possibly happening. And Bethlehem was small, and so that's all they needed to know. And then, suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. Now, Jesus did not call for 12 legions of angels when he was crucified. He said he could have. When he was taken to the garden, he said he could have called for 12 legions. He didn't call for them then. But he got them here. A multitude. I wouldn't doubt there were 12 legions or more. Who knows how many angels there were. And suddenly there was, with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. God has now moved in the affairs of men, and angels have been longing for that and looking forward to that, looking into it, wanting to see it and know about it. Not fully understanding, not fully having the revelation, because you have to be a partaker of this grace to understand it. And it's through the church that the angelic hosts are to come into that understanding, according to the Scripture. And on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Finally, it has happened. Now, interesting, that last phrase there, goodwill toward men, is a bad translation. You often see it, you know, you see it printed around and in stores and different places. But it really should be translated on earth peace toward men of goodwill. Or like in the King James margin here, peace among men in whom he is well pleased. There's goodwill towards them because God is pleased in them. And that's where peace will come. The angels are thankful. They're thankful for Jesus Christ. They're thankful for salvation being brought to us. Are you thankful for your salvation? The angels are thankful. They're thankful for what God is doing in the earth. Do you realize that right now there are probably more people saved and spirit-filled on the face of the earth than has ever been in the history of man? And I don't know the figures, but there may be more saved on the earth now than over a large portion of history up until this time. There may be more saved now than there has been saved from the beginning of the church, Pentecost, until this day. There are millions and millions around the earth that know God. that love Him and are serving Him right now. And though many are in ignorance, you know, I think the angels are thankful. I think God is preparing to raise up a body that is going to be such a shock. The world is going to say, can a nation be born in a day? What is this? The earth shall be brought forth, shall bring forth at once. I think the angels are thankful tonight. And I think we ought to be grateful too. I think the angels are thankful for what we have here. I know the angels have been busy in our assembly lately. There have been a lot of angels around. They've been doing a lot of work because they're glad to do it. They don't get upset because you call on them, as it were. When you call unto the Lord and God sends them is what I mean. No, they're not like that. Demons are like that. Demons only do what they have to do. And for your benefit, they just want to destroy you. But angels, it's their service to minister unto you. And they're thankful for that service. And they're thankful for what God is doing. And they're thankful for that you are a part of it. And they have been on many missions in your life before you got saved. And now they are ministering to you quite consistently. Because they are ministering spirits set to minister to those about to receive salvation when we enter the heavenly realm. And from here to there, they'll be continually ministering to you. And they're thankful for what you have. Are we thankful tonight? Are we thankful that we have an opportunity to step out of this mundane realm and to live in a spiritual realm of thanksgiving and of praise? Spiritual realm where we understand things that the angels don't even understand. Where we have opportunity to become in God, what the Scripture calls Elohim. That means God. That's a term for God Himself. And that we have in our possession the pearl of great price. The one who is that treasure that was hidden in the field. That one that is worth more than the whole world. Because the gift of Him has been enough for the whole world that we might be saved and that the whole world might be saved. I think we should be thankful. I think we should really be thankful. It's good to ponder on these things, to allow them to sink into our hearts. This time of year, when thoughts are going towards Christmas and towards giving gifts and things, let's be a thankful people. Manifest your thankfulness. It's a wonderful time of year to witness and to share with those that are around about, just to shine your light on them, just to shine on them and show them the love of God in your life. Let's be a thankful people. Amen. Why don't we stand as we close the service tonight? And I'd like if there would be a song, maybe just music ministry, and we'll just sing a song, and we'll just close and worship unto God, a real thanksgiving song, just to worship the Lord and praise Him tonight as we close. Song again as you're dismissed. Those of you who have to go, God bless you. Sure appreciate you again. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. If there's anybody here that has never given your life to Jesus Christ, you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior, but you'd like to, and you'd like to know Him tonight, and you recognize that He's calling you, and now is the time. And it is the time for you. If the Lord is calling you, then that's the time. He wants you, whenever you hear His voice, whenever you hear the gospel preached, it's time to give your heart to Jesus Christ. If you do not know Jesus Christ, and you've never given your life to Him tonight, but you'd like to, I'd like you to raise your hand and signify, yes, I want to give my life to Jesus tonight. I'm willing to surrender my life to Christ tonight. Just raise your hand. And we'll pray with you after the service. I don't want anybody to leave this building without the knowledge of Jesus Christ and coming to know the One who loves them. He loves you. He loves you very, very much. Now's your opportunity. Don't be embarrassed. Just raise your hand and Jesus sees your heart. But it's important that you don't turn Him away. Is there anybody here who'd like to give your life to Jesus tonight? I don't see any hands. Oh, it's so good to know the Lord. Oh, it's so good to know the Lord. It is so good to know the Lord. Praise His name forever. You're dismissed. God be with you. God bless you. Service was a short one. Went a little bit longer than we anticipated. But the evening is yet early. And maybe our brother will play this song for a little while, and those that would like to stay can just worship the Lord and be thankful unto Him. Spread that thanks around, will you? Two kinds of people in the world. The ones that live on the cup that's half empty and those that live on the cup that's half full. Which one are you going to be? Let's be a thankful people. Let's be a people that really do know how to praise their Lord. God bless you. The meeting is dismissed.